Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
But it burned. For me and her, it burned. There was a burning.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
There's worse ways to go than eating grilled cheese every day and having sex every day.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sports and Shit Podcast with Maddie and Smitty. It is presented by Anchor through the Anchor app, and it is the easiest way to create a podcast. We also have a wonderful sponsor. We are sponsored by Lops Brewing in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and it is season 2, episode number 8. We have a special guest coming up later on today. I am Maddie, and let me introduce again my co-host for another fantastic episode. He is the world's most disgruntled Dunkin' Donuts customer. It is Smitty.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dunkin'.
I'm going through the drive-thru today. And well, first of all, I had maybe the worst wake-up wrap that I've ever had in my entire life. Like, I don't think it was cooked, really. So that was super. Okay. Before I even get to that, before I even get that piece of shit thing, I'm in the line behind this guy. And Why do people look for shit on the passenger seat of their car when they're in a drive-thru line? Can you answer me this?
I don't know what you could be looking for other than you should have your wallet ready to go, your money ready to go when you get there. And then when it's over, the transaction's over, you move along. There's no delay. There's no, let me get this. Let me put my change back. Let me do any of that. Let's move along. There's 47 people in line. Let's go.
There was few times where this person was parked, literally through the car in park. You couldn't see their head. They were leaning over and like looking under the passenger seat. Like, now is not the fucking time to do that.
No, I don't care if you dropped your nickel. You'll get it later.
Now's not the time.
Like, what could you have over there that's that pressing right now?
I mean, are you trying to put your fucking Glock under the seat? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, for crying out loud.
Just in case, maybe they got a fucking skin flap for fake an egg and cheese wrap. Yeah, maybe they did. Maybe they were pissed.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they're looking to rob the Dunkin' Donuts and they were searching for the gun or something. But I mean, it drives me absolutely insane. There's seven cars in the line.
I've had some episodes lately. I think it's pandemic related because a lot of the places won't allow, a lot of people in there. Like, people just won't go in. So the drive-thrus are even more ridiculous than they usually are. But I went in one time the other day and I ordered food and I was the only one in there physically. And there was no one at the cooking station. So if there's no one at the cooking station, shit's about to go down. Like, what's going on? Like, someone has to be cooking something. There's no other cooking station. So how can there be nobody there?
They're tied up and back. They're tied up and back by this asshole.
He was out back, like, getting napkins or something. Like, come on, dude. Like, people get their own napkins right now. I need my wrap, That's why they're not cooking the wraps, because they don't have enough time. So they're like, you know what? Fuck you. We're just going to take the wrap.
Fuck you. That's what it felt like today. It felt like a big, huge fuck me today. That's what it felt like.
It's like, you know what? It's Saturday. I've dealt with this all week. I don't need another customer today. It's Saturday. You're not in a rush today. So you're going to get whatever the fuck I want to give you. That's what it was today. I mean, that was a middle finger,
It was. Middle finger. Felt like it, too. Felt like a huge middle finger. Especially with a guy in front of me who's parked and won't move up.
Yeah.
Move up.
I had a guy the other day. This woman ordered this whatever on online. Didn't have her snack and bacon in it. So she says, are you guys out of snack and bacon? And he looked at her with like fucking looks that could kill. Went over, got the pre-made little bag of bacon and fired it into the bag. Like, fired, almost missed the bag. I was like, wow. She's like, sorry. And the guy was just walked away. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. It really was amazing. I mean,
there's nothing like being a disgruntled customer service employee. There really is some fun to be had with that if you just don't give a shit at all.
Oh, I know. Some people don't. Some people just don't. And most people won't rat you out. Like, most people won't confront it. They'll just take it and leave and think you're an a-hole. So you get away with it most of the time. But there is a risk of getting fired, obviously. But you can absolutely, and we've done that before, and the sarcasm and the passive aggressiveness works to a T. It's amazing. Yeah, so that was good. Oh, cool. So good. So Monday will be even better when you get in there with even more people and more skin flaps as wraps. All right, it's news time, and the news is brought to you by Lops Brewing. And Lops Brewing is a brewery and tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island,
specializing in small batch ales and lagers.
It's open 7 days a week, and there's live music every Thursday at 6:30. Smitty will do a little song and dance, tap dance, all sorts of things, whatever gets you there. Use the coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order.
So visit www.lopsbrewing.com.
And follow at Lops Brewing for new beers and events. And we need to get down there.
We do.
Very shortly. So here is the news presented by Lops Brewing. And our first item today is SkyMall magazines. American Airlines has removed SkyMall magazines. And they say it saved the company an estimated $350,000 per year in fuel costs thanks to the reduced rate.
What?
Have you read a SkyMall magazine?
I have.
Have you read this? Have you?
Yeah. I go through them when I yeah. when so when evidently,
evidently those magazines. I mean, there's a ton of weight involved. It wasn't the fact that the planes are half full because of the pandemic that probably played a part in it. So I'd like to see this again when the planes are full again and see if this data is actually correct. But they're saving $350,000 per year on fuel costs.
I don't really understand that. I don't really get it. Like, really, the Sky Malls are what's heavy. The Sky Malls.
Right.
It's like right. It's like 4 pages. I mean, right. For crying out loud, it can't weigh more than a pound. It's ounces. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, your feces that you just dropped in the toilet
right.
It weighs more than that.
Yeah, the ice cubes weigh more than that. I mean, come on. Jesus Christ.
Right. That small 8 ounce can of Coke, that's heavier than this thing. Absolutely. You know, those peanuts, heavier than Sky Mall magazine. I'm not a fan of the SkyMall magazine. I don't think it offers much.
No, it doesn't offer anything. But, I mean, they don't need them. But at the same time, it doesn't matter at all.
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, no one would have missed it if they didn't announce it or write, you know, have an article about it.
Right. So where's my SkyMall? Where's my fucking SkyMall?
miss, can I get my SkyMall? No.
No, you cannot.
Right, so Silence of the Lambs, so the Buffalo Bill House. Silence of the Lambs. It's going to be a bed and breakfast.
That sounds like a really nice time. You know what? I'm going to grab my wife.
Yes,
we're going to we're going to book, and we're going to go up there for a weekend for our anniversary. Nothing says romance like somebody getting, you know, eaten alive. I mean, what in the fuck?
No, like like cannibalism.
Yeah, nothing says romance. Like,
honey, what do you feel about cannibalism? I've been thinking of trying new things.
What do you think they serve at the Continental Breakfast there? Finger sandwiches?
Hot dogs and finger sandwiches?
Yeah, legitimate finger sandwiches. Like actual finger sandwiches.
Fingers. Yeah, like actual fingers.
Actual fingers.
Deviled finger?
Deviled finger sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
And toe jam.
It's toe jam.
Yeah.
The appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
Toe jam on a skin flap is what you get over there. Best beaches in the United States. And a beach in Maine was number 7. And that was in Ogunquit.
Okay. Ogunquit's a nice area.
It is nice. And it was up there with all the tons in Hawaii and California and Florida and such. And Maine was the only one. That was the only one. You know, the Northeast or anywhere other than those other vacation spots.
So Revere Beach didn't make the list? 7.
No, Revere Beach did not. No, it didn't make it. Too much broken glass and used condoms on the sand. Just to hear too many. And
just outside the top 10 at number 11, Revere Beach.
Yeah, I was number 11. Damn it, slipped out of the top 10, so to speak. So Ogunquit, it is nice. It is nice there in Ogunquit, Maine.
I'm surprised nothing down the Cape made the list.
Yeah, like maybe like Nauset, and there's some down there.
There's some nice beaches down there with the dunes and so forth, like, you know, Orleans, like Provincetown, you know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised someplace down there didn't make it.
Yeah, that is true. So Ohio authorities have seized 44 pounds of cocaine-coated cornflakes, $2.8 million worth of cocaine in the cornflakes, 44 pounds.
I mean, why would you do that, number one?
I'll tell you, I like Frosted Flake.
I like a good Frosted Flake, sure.
Back in the day when we were young and they didn't have this, you know, the advancements of cereal that they do today, you know, like if I went like Cocoa Krispies, Frosted Flakes, and Honey Nut Cheerios, bang, those were like staples in the household.
Let me ask you right now, what are your top we'll say three or whatever, five, top five,
right?
If you want, top three. I don't know. Whatever. I don't care either way. What are your top three or five cereals?
Three, good. 17. Yeah.
What are your top 25 cereals? Let's list it out so that everybody can fall asleep during the show.
Right. I will go. I think definitely Honey Nut Cheerios has always been up there. I am a Special K vanilla almond guy now. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been back in the day, obviously, but I like that cereal a lot. And I also like Cocoa Krispies. That gives you the chocolate milk at the end. The only problem with Flakes and Krispies is you got to get at it quickly because they get soggy. And
you
I'm
do.
Not a soggy cereal guy.
Me either.
And that's why I like Captain Crunch, but it cuts the shit out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah. Terrible. Terrible cuts.
I have to eat it right away.
You do.
Because I don't like it mushy. So I would say there. And that sneaky one is Smart Start. I like Smart Start. It's got the clusters and a little bit sweet, but fairly healthy. Smart Start is an underrated cereal. What do you got?
So I got Honey Nut Cheerios in my top five. I have Fruity Pebbles in my top five. I've always been a huge Fruity Pebbles guy. But that's the same thing, though. You have to eat those quick because they'll get a little soggy. I'm a Special K with red berries. I like that now.
Okay.
Not as a kid, but now I do. Apple Jacks, big Apple Jacks guy. And then probably my favorite cereal is Cinnamon Toast Crunch. 100%. I love that. But that's another one that you got to eat it quickly.
You got to get at it. I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'll tell you what, I'm not a... So you're a fruity cereal guy. Like everything was pretty much fruity. I'm not a fruity cereal guy. Like I don't do, you know, tricks and Fruity Pebbles and all. I can't do the fruity. I like more just the traditional corn and wheat and oats and stuff like that. I'm not a fruity guy.
I like the Honey Bunches of Oats too. I like that. That's pretty good.
Honey Bunches of Oats is very good. I hadn't had that ever until just recently, maybe a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. And I don't know why. Like I didn't like Corn Pops. That was another one. I didn't really like that either.
Yeah, those get soggy.
Yeah, those get soggy too. You know, the sogginess is really...
It's a detriment.
I'll eat a box of cereal. I mean, I can eat a box of cereal right now, but sure. I gotta eat it fast. Post Malone has released a cover of Hootie and the Blowfish's 1995 hit, Only Want to Be With You, for Pokemon's 25th anniversary.
What are we even talking about?
To do with each other?
What is this? What are we... I mean, what are we talking about?
Why is Pokemon... Why is it a pressing issue to play Hootie and the Blowfish during a Pokemon anniversary? Anybody?
Why is there music getting... Isn't that like a card game or something? What? Pokemon?
Pokemon.
Cards?
Are people still going Pokemon on the go? Are people still looking for that thing in the neighborhood? Like, are people still walking around?
I don't think so. Pokemon I think go? Too many people got hit by cars, so they decided to stop doing that. People just wandering into the street with their cell phone.
No reward? Right.
Yeah, I don't.
No reward.
Yeah, I don't. No.
Yeah.
No reward. I think that lasted like a month and a half. You know, it was like one summer.
I thought about doing it one time. I think my stepson was thinking of doing it. I don't know. It was a while back when it was hot. And I was like, boy, I was a little bit curious as to what the real reward was, if you found one or whatever the hell it was. But then it was like it disappeared. It was a true fad. It was like gone in an instant. Like no one talked about it. So that was strange. So I did see, because we did the love songs for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I looked at the top 50 Billboard top 50 love songs of all time.
Okay.
And you'll be happy to know that none of our six, you had three, I had three, none of them were on it. Zero. And here's a kicker. Number one was like Endless Love. And the first three were legit. How Deep Is Your Love, I think, was three. And it was another one at two that was, you know, what you would think. But then there was Silly Love Songs by Paul McCartney and Wings was five. And I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston was six. And I almost lost my mind. And I don't know why I care so much. I almost lost my mind. I'm like, how is Silly Love Songs, which is a silly love song, shouldn't be anywhere near the top 50 love songs of all? Because it's almost not, it's so silly, it's almost not a love song. Like, it's just silly. It's almost picking on love songs. So why would it be in the top 50? Why would it be in the top five? And why wouldn't I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, why would that be behind it? I couldn't believe it. So I just wanted to tell you that because
I would be angry about that too because I get angry over stupid things.
You do.
So that would make me mad also. Yeah, I mean Whitney should be if not top three, top five.
Yeah,
I mean probably first.
Yeah,
honestly.
I mean it was Endless Love and it was something else I can't remember and then it was How Deep Is Your Love. So the top three I was okay with, But then I was like, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You is like an iconic love song, and it's got to be right there.
Yeah.
It should not be. It should not be behind Silly Love Songs. And there was another one at 4 that didn't touch it either. And I was like, oh, it was Rihanna, some Rihanna song. I had no idea what it was. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's, it just wasn't fair and just. And that's what I'm all about, you know? Oh, fair and just. I mean, I lost my mind on that one. That was my follow-up to our love songs. None of ours are on the top 50. And I thought we had 6 excellent love songs, and none of them were there. Not a one.
People just have bad taste is what it boils down to.
They do. And you never know with those top. They want to include different generations and all this other crap. Like, seriously, it's the top 50 love songs of all time. If you're top 50, you're top 50. I don't care if you were written in 1950 or 2010 or whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't need representation from every fucking buddy. You can't tell me that Rihanna has the 4th greatest love song of all time. You just can't tell me that. I don't care if you're the biggest Rihanna friggin' fan. I don't care. And it's no disrespect for Rihanna, because she doesn't give a flying flip what I think.
She certainly doesn't.
She makes a hell of a lot more money than I do. So she doesn't care.
No, she doesn't care at all. She doesn't care at all.
Not on one iota.
No. And she has good music too, so she doesn't need. She doesn't need to be validated by having a number 4 love song.
No, and she doesn't need to be validated by me either. But sorry, Rihanna, like all the love songs in the world. I mean, my lord, just silly love songs. And the thing was that 12 was another Wing song, which is far better. Like, which is a legit, and I can't remember it right now, but wasn't even the best Wings love song. I don't even think maybe Abba Mays was on the list. Can you believe it? Wasn't even on the list.
I have a problem with this list.
And then another song he had with Wings. I can't remember what the song is now. But it was 12th. And I was like, wow,
The more you talk about this list, the more I think the list is a gigantic pile of garbage.
It really was. It really is. I mean, it should not be considered. And it was Billboard. Like, I looked, I looked at it just to make sure it wasn't, you know, tomslovesongs.com or something, like some random
right
website,
some random guy's Spotify playlist,
right it was like a billboard.com. like, what? So that's my take on that was just horrific. And I knew you would support me, because you there's no one who gets more pissed off at random shit than you, so I wanted to tag team that one. So there we are.
Was tag team on the list? Was that a love song? No, fucking assholes.
That's a different kind of love. Yeah, that's a different kind of love.
No, that group, tag team, back again.
Back again, right.
Was that on the list? I wouldn't be surprised.
It might have been. Maybe, I have to look back. We're going to come back with singing sensation, Jackie Tarrion, and it'll be coming up right after this quick break. Our special guest this week is Jackie Tarrion, young music star, tremendous following on Spotify, writes some really cool music. And Jackie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Now, I just wanted to get a feel for, you know, when you started, you're 17, right?
Yep.
When you started singing and when you kind of had an idea that you might be pretty good.
Well, I've been singing as long as I can remember, just like for fun. And then I started playing the piano, which was the first instrument that I learned at 9. And then like a few years later, around like 12, I kind of started singing and playing at the same time. And I wasn't really writing stuff, but I like did it for fun. And I just did covers or whatever. And then I started writing like instrumental stuff on the piano, and I didn't have any lyrics. It was all just like piano stuff. Then I started adding lyrics to that around like 14. And for a while, I didn't want to like do anything with it. I was like, this is stupid. Like, no one's going to like this stuff. It's not good. And I like had stage fright. Like, I didn't want to sing in front of anyone. And then like a school talent show for my chorus in 8th grade, I did it. And after that, I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I love this.
That's really cool.
So who are some of your musical idols?
Oh, God, I have so many. Taylor Swift is definitely my biggest, but I love Maisie Peters. I love Fleetwood Mac, Supertramp, Beach Boys.
Wow, very nice. You know, I was thinking with Smitty when we were listening to the music, I was like, I think she sounds like someone. And we picked a few people back and forth. And then I came up with Dido. Is that someone you've ever listened to?
Yeah,
or
I've listened to a lot.
Kind of had that feel. I don't know if that's What you were looking for, but that's what I have.
I like her. She's good.
Are you surprised that you have almost 15,000 followers on or monthly listeners on Spotify? Are you surprised that you've gotten so many followers and been so popular?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I feel like it went up recently really fast, but it's all just like, I think it's all how I promote stuff on Instagram and stuff like that. Like I always like try to post stuff at like certain times and I use a lot of hashtags and like it suddenly just goes up really fast sometimes. So like, I don't know, the past like 2 months, it's been pretty high. Like this is the highest it's ever been. So
nice. Smitty, I think we found our social media.
Yeah. Right. She's not going to waste her time on us. Come on.
I don't think she's past that. I think
she definitely is. She definitely is. So how often do you write? Do you write every day or do you write once a week? Do you set a time for it? Like how often are you?
All the time. Everywhere. I'll be at school and I'll get an idea in class and I write it down. I'll be at work and I'm a cashier. So like I'll print out like receipt paper and I'll write stuff down on it. It's like 24/7. I feel like I'm constantly writing stuff. Even if it doesn't end up a song, I'm always writing.
Before we listen to your song, I did want to mention this and I wasn't going to, but I am. Smitty and I were actually in high school part of a nationally ranked show choir.
You were?
Don't sound so excited. Yeah. I mean, yes, we were. We actually, we did singing and dancing and we actually performed at Disney World on American Pavilion in Epcot Center. And I'm trying to sell this as much as I can, but it's not going over well. But we did. We were top 10.
Top 10 in the country.
That's cool.
We were. We really were. I mean, not arguable. I mean, we were in the back, but that's fine. I've always wondered with songwriters, how do you come up with matching song to melody? Do the lyrics come easier? The melody? How does that work? Because I can't do that for the life of me if I try to sit down and write a song.
It kind of depends. I feel like sometimes I'll get like the music first and I'll have like a chord progression that I really like and I start writing around it. But sometimes I just get lyrics with no melody at all. And it's just a bunch of lyrics and I have to figure out the melody like later. So it kind of just, it's not all comes at once. Like it just kind of depends, I guess.
Yeah. So this song, Just Like a Movie, what's the story behind that?
So that's just a song that I wrote about like a time in a relationship where something happened that was like so perfect and unrealistic that it kind of just felt like a movie. So.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of like my love story. That's kind of like what's happened to me in a relationship. Funny. I know you have.
Is yours more of a horror film though?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a different genre, but it's it's along those lines. All right. So this is Jackie Terrion with Just Like a Movie. We'll take a listen.
Saving me your life, just a heartache with you right here.
Excellent.
That's great.
Thank you.
Really good stuff, Jackie. It's really good. And my daughter actually listens to a lot of indie music. So I actually have heard some indie music. I don't know any of these groups. I couldn't tell you about it. I did know Billie Eilish before she went more pop mainstream because of my daughter. She's 17. She listens to a lot of indie. And she really liked it too because she likes that whole thing. Now, what do you think? American Idol voice? Or are you more like you're going to stick with the indie scene? What are you going to do?
Probably just kind of stick indie. I have thought about like trying out for like America's Got Talent, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. I was like, no, it's just reality TV. Like, don't waste your time. A lot of it's just fake.
Yeah, America's Got Talent is the one show I really don't like all that much. It's a little too theatrical for me. I don't mind The Voice, but I had a hard time with America's Got Talent. It's a little too vaudevillish and too theatrical for me. But all right, so we're going to do this segment called Five Questions with Two Assholes. We ask you five random questions, and Smitty's going to hit the music. So, question number one. If you could open for anyone in concert, who would it be?
Taylor Swift.
I guess we knew the answer to that.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah.
Question number two. What have you been streaming during the pandemic?
Taylor Swift's two new albums, Folklore and Evermore, both the surprise albums that she announced like the day of. That's all I've been listening to.
Yeah.
Here's a quick aside from that. Did you know that The Weeknd was one guy?
Of course you did.
For the longest time.
Yeah, for sure. When we saw him, we were like, that's one guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we know too, so that's good. Number three. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Probably to be invisible. That would be kind of cool sometimes. Or to fly.
We've had a couple of people do the invisible thing.
Yeah, invisible was big. I chose flying.
I think I, what did I do? Read minds or what did I do? Like What Women Want. Remember that movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Help me.
I'm not sure what you picked. Yours wasn't, I don't think, a superpower. You were kind of like Gronk. In that way.
Right. I just wanted to be a more useful human being. Is that a superpower?
Yeah, right. Question number four. What is your favorite thing to do when you're not playing music?
Probably ski, or I like to paint. Like I like to watercolor paint. I draw a lot too. I sketch.
So you're an all-around artist then. All right. So question number five. Will you remember us when you become famous?
Yes.
Awesome. We appreciate that.
You'll be famous and you'll bring Taylor Swift on with you and we'll have a good old time.
We can be roadies and carry your equipment when you're big.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just leave us a couple of spots on the tour.
Just about anything that would help us not to work anymore the rest of our lives.
Right.
The podcast thing's really not working out, but we like it, but it's not giving us the income that we're looking for. So, hey, we'll do the roadie thing for sure. No doubt. Well, Jackie Tarian, thanks so much for joining us. It's been really fun. We love your music and we wish you continued success, and we'll have you on again when you reach platinum. How's that?
Thank you.
And thanks again to Jackie Tarian. Really fun to talk with her. And she's written a lot of, she wrote 20 songs during the quarantine. 20. I can't write in my journal that my therapist wants me to write in. Like, I can't even do that. I can't even write about my day. And she's writing 20 songs in a quarantine.
She is young and living life, and you are old and sitting around. So
and my life is over. Yes.
Well, I'm not saying your life is over, but you're old and you kind of sit around. She's
I'm old. Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of setting our ways at this point. She's out doing things. She's got life ahead of her, life in front of her. We're on the back nine.
We're fighting people in the drive-through.
Like right.
We're
we're grumpy old men.
We are.
Yep.
We can't embrace Rihanna as a love song artist. And we just can't do it. We can't open our eyes to things.
No, Taylor Swift, there you go. She's a love song artist. Jackie Tarian's idol there. She can write a love song.
Yeah, she absolutely can. And you know, Jackie loves her and Taylor Swift writes tons of songs. I mean, she just spits out an album every year, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, I can certainly respect that 100%. Mm-hmm. And Jackie is on Spotify. You can follow her, Jackie Tarian. She has thousands of followers and listeners. And I love that I came up with Dido as a compliment to her, because she does have sort of that sound to it.
Beautiful voice. Very similar to Dido. I'm not sure if she 100% took it as a compliment.
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe
but, not. But it is. Like, yeah, it was, cool. But it is, and it was meant to be a compliment.
Because Dido is excellent. I mean, she's very, very good. Many thanks to Jackie. It was fun to have her on. You know what's, even going to be more fun? Is when we go to concerts, hopefully this summer, because people are going to be allowed back in certain arenas. And the indoor arenas are going to start to have 12% capacity. So the Boston Red Sox will have 12% in their game starting in, well, when they start up April 1st, I think they start opening day. And then March 22nd is the day where the Garden can have 12% for Bruins and Celtics games.
Yeah, that'll be good. Starting to, hopefully, to get things going back a little bit more in the normal direction.
And the other night, Bruins played the Islanders, and there were people there watching the game. And it's been so common to see nobody there that it's actually odd. Like, it stands out when fans are in the stands now. Bruins have had a struggles recently.
Yeah, the last few games after the Lake Tahoe game, they really have not played well at all. They've given up, what was it, 14 goals or something like that? 13 goals?
It was 7-3 and 6-2.
It's a lot of goals. Yeah. They need to tighten some things up on the back end. They have some people hurt, so you know that's affecting them a little bit, but they need to tighten some things up and maybe make a trade back there to get things going more in the right direction.
You know, they've lost four games to the Islanders, and I think they've only lost four games, period, right? Four.
I think they've lost one other one, in regulation. Yeah.
So the Islanders have their number,
and so
that's the thing. But I think also the timing of it is that right now, like you said, they have injuries in the defense. The defense is young as it is. The combination of the two are catching up to them, and now they have to really make a decision on whether or not they want to keep riding it out, get the players back, see if they can correct it in-house, or they really need to go out and make a move. And you know, how invested they are in this season. I mean, are they really invested to try to win the cup, or do they have a plan in place where they don't want to extend themselves? So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
It will be, because I think they should be looking to make a move to try to win the cup, because that veteran core is getting older every year.
Right.
So how many more kicks at the can are Bergeron and Marchand, and Krejci's a UFA. So, you know, the team could look, you know, drastically different next year. This might be their one last chance with, you know, those guys all together. So I feel like they should make a move. See if they can win it.
Yeah, it's very true. So we'll see. Last year there was a stretch here I saw where they had a similar two or three game stretch like this, and then they won 5 or 6 right after it.
Yeah, they did.
So one thing about this group is that they have been resilient over the years, and they have bounced back when you thought they were going for dead. So I expect them to bounce back, obviously, and I expect them to right the ship and be there in some form by the end of the year. But it will be interesting to see what they do in the deadline. The Celtics are an interesting group as well. They're underachieving.
Vastly underachieving.
And you know what? The thing is that it's, you know, when you analyze and say, well, they should be better, and they should. Obviously, they're not an under 500 team. The struggle they've had is how far along Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are. So they're young, and typically young stars don't win in the NBA. And last year, the stars aligned so they could get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which actually raised the expectation a little too high for this year. So it was a little bit of fool's gold.
I agree.
So now, with the Nets better, substantially better, and the Bucks, you know, still going to be there, one of the best players in the league, and the Sixers to substantially better, that it's a very difficult, much more difficult road than it was last season. And the fact that they're still young, and so Danny Ainge is rolling the dice that Tatum and Brown are going to be top 10 players in the NBA, because that's what you need to be a championship contender. You need a couple of like top 10 players in the NBA.
I think right now they're on the cusp of that, both of them.
They're like 15.
What they haven't yet mastered and what they really need to do is they both can score. They both can rebound. They both need to cut down on their turnovers. They both need to be able to make their teammates better, which is, I think, the last piece to be a top 10 player in the league. They have to be willing passers when somebody else has a better shot than you. They can't take terrible fallaways or bad shots when they could make a pass and get a guy a wide open look. They have to trust their teammates that the teammates are going to knock stuff down. And then that goes back to the roster. Has Ainge built a roster around them where the players are good enough around them to be able to knock down open shots? I mean, they took some steps in the right direction with Neesmith and Pritchard, but the Ogilvies and the, you know, Javonte Greens and the Grant Williams of the world, Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters, those guys, a handful of them are good bench role players. But there's a few guys that shouldn't be in the league. They should.
No, they shouldn't be in the league. Right.
I think, and he's banking on that they will take that next step where they start to become better passers and they make their teammates better. And then, you know, that pushes them in the right direction. I'm interested to see what they do with this trade exception, too, if they go out and try to make a splash with it.
Yeah, and I am, too. And Danny Ainge was quoted as saying that it's a slippery slope if you wait to the offseason to do it. And so it seems to be like he was making a statement that if something were to happen, it would be in season. You see, Michael Jordan was a willing passer. I mean, some of the iconic shots that the Bulls had were by, you know, Paxson and Steve Kerr and other guys. And LeBron James used to get crucified for passing the ball at the end of games and giving up shots to other people. But like you said, that's kind of what you have to do. And I think that, like you said, the role players are the most important. I think they were too rookie, young, heavy in the bench last year. I think it's a little better now with Tristan Thompson. And I think Jeff Teague's going to be okay. I mean, he's fine. He's certainly better than Tremont Waters and Carson Edwards, who neither should be in the league. And if they are, they're the 12th guy.
Right. You
know, they're a 10-day contract guy. They're like 1 foot out. And Grant Williams is going to be around the league because he's a good guy and he listens and he does certain things. But
yeah, he can defend.
He can defend, but he's never going to be he's a borderline rotational guy.
Right.
And then you have, Daniel Tice has always been overexposed. I think you got to play Robert Williams more. I think you got to play Peyton Pritchard more. Their numbers in the fourth quarter, the Celtics, are among the lowest in the league in all categories.
Yeah.
26th and lower in all categories in the fourth quarter. So it's the fourth quarter, like you said, where they're forcing up shots. They're playing one-on-one basketball. They're doing one pass and shoot. They can't defend. They are one of the worst defensive teams in the league when push comes to shove.
Yeah. They settle. They settle too often. Tatum, especially. Like, I was watching the game the other night and he had a guy that was like 6'5 on him and he backs him down and then he takes a fall away. Dude, you're fucking 6'10. Go through the guy.
Yeah.
Go through him.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's that whole, like, I don't know, Tatum falls in love with that whole, I'm gonna take these, you know, sidestep shots. And
yeah, he wants to be Kobe, but Kobe was taking the fallaways at the end of his career, not in the beginning of his career. In the beginning of his career, he was driving through people and dunking on their fucking heads. Be that Kobe.
Jordan was finishing at the rim, and they all were. I mean, at the end of their career, you have to play the other way because you're getting beat up. But those guys all went to the basket. Paul Pierce took the most foul shots in history, I think, or something.
Yeah, I mean, Tatum gets to the line like 4 times a game or something. Yeah. Like way, way, way too low for a guy of his size and talent.
Right. And Paul Pierce would take his jumper at the end of the game, like at the elbow, or he'd get toward the rim, or he'd do something like that, and he'd mix it up, and he'd get fouls a ton.
Yeah.
And Jason Tatum's just not there. I mean, he doesn't have the physical stature that Pierce had, but I think it's going to be interesting to see when they think those guys will be ready to take the role of being the superstars, whether it's next year or the year after. It'll say a lot about how they construct the roster, and it'll also say a lot about who wants to come and play with them, because that's the other piece. Do guys around the league who are veterans want to play with these guys? Do they think they can take them to the next level? Because that's a big piece of it.
Absolutely.
Because they make teams together. They create super teams. So that's going to say a lot if people don't want to come. Gordon Hayward didn't want to stay. I mean, you can say what you want about Hayward, but he didn't want to stay and play with them. You know, Kyrie Irving didn't want to stay. I mean, so are guys going to want to stay with them? And is it just too early? Or is it ever going to be a point where they think that they are? So a lot is going to be said about how the team is constructed, who comes to play with them. It's going to be real factors on how good they are or will be. So the Patriots quarterback situation looking more and more grim by the moment. I really am starting to think that Cam Newton might be back.
It certainly appears as though that could be the case. He himself didn't rule it out the other day. I think it's going to be a veteran, and then they may take a guy in the later rounds, like a Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M or something like that. But I think it's going to be like Fitzpatrick or Cam or possibly Jimmy G if somehow the 49ers end up getting a quarterback, whether it's, you know, Deshaun Watson or David Carr or Russell Wilson or whatever. I think it's possible that Jimmy G ends up back with the Patriots, but I think it's more likely that's going to be Fitzpatrick or Newton.
And I think so too. And I think that I'm with you. What position do you think they'll take with the first round?
Either offensive or defensive line.
I'm with you. I think they're going to take a defensive lineman, maybe an offensive lineman, because you have Marcus Cannon coming back with big money. You have Joe Tooney making big money. And David Andrews is a free agent. So you'll have a couple of young guys who are pretty good, Owenu and Isaiah Wynn. And you have a couple of guys there. So do you go with another high pick and sort of start turning that over and letting Cannon can be a cap casualty, Tooney can be a cap casualty, then you have even more money to put other places? Because the defensive line, the front seven needs an overhaul.
They do.
Hightower will help some, but he missed a whole year.
He absolutely will help. He absolutely will help. I've also heard talk that there could be a linebacker there. I want to say he was out of Penn State, but I don't know.
Yeah, like Micah Parsons.
Yeah. So if he is there, I could see absolutely see them taking him there. Great. They have taken linebackers early on, like they took Mayo and Hightower fairly early. So I could see them going there because it sounds like he's a prototypical Pat's linebacker. So
The only caveat I have with that is that I look at, like, people say tight end and linebacker. They use a lot of draft capital on linebackers and tight ends the last year. Like, they had Jennings and they had Uche and they had Winovich the year before, and they had the two tight ends. I almost think that they go that route later, and they go and that's part of my reason why they go defensive line or offensive line, is that they've already taken, you know, Uche and Jennings and whoever, Winovich. So I don't know if they chase that position with more draft, or if they say, you know what, we need to shore up this and see if we can just bring a vet in to help. I'm defensive line, either the kid from Alabama, Barmore, or there's an offensive lineman from Virginia Tech who's a beast. Or they trade down and figure, because you know they're all about value all the time. They trade down and they get a guy they like further down for another pick, you know, they use next year or later that year or whatever. I don't know, but I think it's going to be D-line or O-line, 100%. Red Sox starting up. They're actually in spring training. The 27th is the first game. Not televised. Find that odd?
I do find it odd. With the amount of time that people have spent waiting for baseball to start, you know, Nesson not really having much programming other than the Bruins and the Dining Playbook and fucking Charlie Moore, they wouldn't televise more spring training games. I guess the tickets for the spring training games sold out in like a half an hour or something. There seems to be a call for it, so put them on fucking TV. So put them on TV.
This is what I just don't get by this. You know, I get it. If in years past, I think they haven't televised the first game, or maybe they have, and maybe they haven't. Some years they have, some years they haven't. But you would think in this climate where they're the fourth most popular team in town, where they come off a 24-win season, they lose Mookie Betts the year before that. The fan base is down on him. You would think they'd put the new product on immediately. Like, you would think they would do that.
You would think they would try to do that. You would think that they would try to showcase
their own fucking network.
Right. You'd think they would try to showcase some of the new guys they brought in and some of the personalities and you know, Verdugo, and so try to sell some of these guys that they have on the team now to maybe build up a little bit of an audience.
Yeah. You would think you would mic them up. And you would talk to them during the broadcast. You would do the whole thing. You would do the whole PR thing, like, fall in love with these guys, please. You think you would do that? And they don't televise the first game? Why? It's your own network. What are you showing, Charlie Moore? Like, what the fuck?
Dining Playbook.
I don't get it. But just, I don't get it. Like, you need to be dying. Baseball as a sport as a whole is struggling.
Yeah.
And you're certainly struggling. And you need to get in. And people in the pandemic and in the winter, they're dying for spring. I know that me personally, I'll be honest, I didn't really miss baseball all that much when it was over. But now I'm starting to want spring. And if surefire first sign of spring is the Red Sox. And I'm starting to get sort of anxious to watch them because it's spring and it's baseball. So I'm starting to get that fever I haven't gotten in a while.
Yeah.
So put them on the fucking TV.
Put them on the TV.
Like, you know, Jesus. Put them on the TV. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. They'll probably be in it September 1st, and it'll come down to pitching and injuries like it always does. And I don't know if they'll make it. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But they'll be markedly better.
I think they're going to sneak in, but it is all going to come down to the pitching. Does the starter stay healthy enough? Is the bullpen good enough? Their offense, right. I think, will produce. They have good players. I think JD Martinez is going to bounce back. You know, they have Verdugo and Bogarts, and Devers is going to have a bounce back year, I think. So they have enough offense. It's whether the pitching and defense and bullpen can hold up.
I agree. All right, so we're going to bring back an old segment. We got to bring back the old fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. We missed it. So we have brought it back, the fuck out of here. And my fuck out of here to begin is this full moon action. The full moon. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the whole phenomenon. I'm not a fan of people. Has there ever been any real scientific evidence that you're a nut job in a full moon?
I don't know if there's science behind it, but it's true. I mean, people are all out of their fucking minds when full moons happen.
So I don't know if it's an excuse.
I think it is.
Like, okay, I'm going to be a wackadoo. or if it's really like something, you know, some energy in you that really goes off when the moon is full. But the moon is supposed to be full tonight or around this time. And it's, I'm telling you, people just get a little nutty when the full moon comes. And I don't know if it's, I just want to know from someone if it's true or not.
Doesn't the moon like affect the tides and shit? So maybe it does make people absolutely out of their minds.
Yeah, I think it might be true. But it's a big fuck out of here for me because I just think that people, you know, using it as an excuse to be a crazy lunatic. All right, enough already. Like, you know, it's maybe I'm just down on
people
on the earth and its beings and everything. But I just it's a big fuck out of here to the whole full moon phenomenon because I don't like it.
Do you think Tom Petty named his album Full Moon Fever about that very thing?
I think he probably did. I think he was probably just as pissed as I was about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the full moon phenomenon is something that should go by way of daylight savings.
It should, absolutely.
Just be done with it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just be done with
it. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So my fuck out of here is customer service. I guess we've already hit on this at the Dunkin' Donuts. But that was more the person in line rather than the actual people that are working there. So I'm at Shaw's yesterday and trying to return some beef bouillon cubes, trying to return them. Too much MSG in the bouillon cubes. And there's a guy in front of me that bought like 12 money orders. Do you remember this? Why do you not have a checking account, number one, or a debit card or something? You really have to get like 12 money orders? So I'm standing behind him. I'm watching this whole thing take place. He gets them all. He throws them on the counter. And the guy behind the desk realizes he didn't give him all of them. So he can't figure out which one he didn't give him. And then he can't figure out why he only gave him 11 because he has 12 rung in. So then he has to call someone. The other person's like, well, you got to do this and this, I guess. I mean, I couldn't hear what they were saying. But, you know, and he's like, okay. Okay, and then he's like, well, hold on a second, sir. I left. I was like, fuck this. I'm out of here.
God.
I was standing there for like 15 minutes. I'm just trying. I'm returning one thing. That's it.
Yeah.
I want to bring one thing back, and I want to leave. That's all. Yeah. And I did it today, and it took me literally 30 seconds.
I mean, you had a better chance of taking the bouillon cubes, putting them in some spring water, and just drinking it, and just being done with it. Bouillon cubes is an interesting return.
It is.
That's an interesting return.
It is. It was for the beef stew. Somewhere. We only use it for the beef stew. That's it.
For the beef stew. Yeah. And hey, you know, that's your right as a consumer.
I don't understand why people that work in customer service can't just get things right.
Well, I know.
And then the other person like buying the 12 things, like taking up all the time in the world. Like, come on, buddy. Yeah.
What happened to me in Panera the other night was the old shut the drawer, but before you give the change back, so now you have to do the math in your head. Oh my God, this poor girl. The bill was 33. I was with Riley, and the bill was 33.64 or something. So it's like 36 cents back. It's 6.36 back. She shuts the drawer. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, just give me the 636. I'll be on my way. Like my cookie's getting cold. Like, let's go. So the girl, she just calls the other girl over. Oh, geez, I know. And they're whispering like, I know what happened, honey. So finally I was like, yeah, I don't know. So the other girl takes her phone out. Like she's going to do the calculator. I'm like, it's 636, honey. It's okay. Just take out 636 and give it to me. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry at all. But I know what the math is.
Don't be sorry at all, so but learn how to add and subtract.
Kenya. I mean, this is like, this is arithmetic. Can we hammer that home at the house when we get home?
At the high school level.
I mean, she had to be like a junior. She was probably like right around Riley's age, maybe like a junior in high school.
Yeah.
Like you've done arithmetic already. Like you're into like algebra. You're into like, almost pre-calc if you were smart.
Probably.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you're past geometry now. Like Christ, 100 minus 64 is 36, honey. Come on.
I don't understand why cashiers cannot do the math in their heads. Like they always look at the amount after. Like what if you put the amount in wrong?
Here's the other thing. The distribution of coins, what makes up 38 cents? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, is it a quarter? And no, it's not a nickel. Or if I get more than 4 pennies, you haven't done it right. I should get no more than 4 pennies. That's it. I shouldn't get 6 pennies because a nickel should have been thrown in there. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't get 12 pennies.
Well, the worst thing you could ever do to those poor kids is give them money after they put the amount in. Like if it's like, if your bill is like 10.05.
Oh my Lord.
And you give them the nickel afterwards so you get a full dollar back. That throws them all off. Then they have no idea.
They freeze. Yeah. I've done that before. Like I got the 2 pennies. what do I do then? Well, I don't know. Put them in your pocket. I have no idea.
Call the emergency math team.
I don't want 98 cents is my issue.
Right.
I agree. That's definitely a fuck out of here. The whole customer service experience, really. Back to the passive aggressiveness of the customer service people, which I get behind. But the tomfoolery and the overall stupidity, I can't get behind it all.
No.
So that's it. That's another episode of the Sportsmanship Podcast. We appreciate everyone listening. Special thanks to Jackie Terrian for being on and Lops Brewing for being a major sponsor of ours. And Smitty, another great 50 minutes of pure joy, excitement.
Pure joy and excitement. That's how I would describe our podcast. Pure joy and excitement.
Regardless of the moon structure, we bring it every week. All right. So everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
I like your hair better when it's a mess. I like the sound of your heartbeat lying on your chest. And I like your smile at the same time as mine. Been needing someone like you for a while. I like the way you look when you drive. I like the way you hug me so tight. And I love the feel of your hand in mine. This for a while. I've got two things at once. I found my best friend and my lover all in one. You've got me so wrapped up in everything you do. You're my best friend and my lover.